With your Money Briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Who doesn't love the perks from credit card rewards programs? Well, it turns out some big retailers and store chains would just as well do away with them. We'll explain why in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Consumers' outlook on the U.S. economy improved further in September as a strong economy and robust job growth bolstered Americans' consumer sentiment. The Conference Board, which measures how consumers feel, expects the historically high levels of confidence to continue and will result in continued healthy consumer spending, which will be welcome news for retailers as they prepare for the holiday season. And the Wall Street Journal Real Estate Desk reports a Beverly Hills estate that was prominently featured in the movie The Godfather and has been on and off the market for at least a decade is back on the market, this time for $135 million. The estate is known as the Beverly House, and the elaborate Spanish colonial-style mansion was featured in The Godfather in a scene in which an enemy of Vito Corleone finds a severed head of a horse in his bed. In real life, it was owned at one point by newspaper magnate William Randolph Hearst. The property has six different structures totaling 50,000 square feet, including the Hearst property, which dates back to 1927, and a seven-bedroom house on a second parcel. There are more than 20 bedrooms and suites, depending upon the use of the rooms. The property also has a near-Olympic-sized swimming pool, a lighted tennis court, two screening rooms, a commercial-grade kitchen, and terraces to accommodate 400 or more people for a seated dinner.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. The business world includes almost everything, so American Express covers almost everything. It's all connected. Technology needs business. Business needs government. Government needs technology. It's one big circle of backing that's supporting, advising, funding, and informing. It makes the business world go round. The bottom line is that it's way better when someone has your back. You really don't have to go it alone when you have American Express, because they have your back. Don't do business without it.
We've all done it. Built up points and rewards from using credit cards. But while consumers can make out with some sweet discounts or vacations as a result, lots of merchants would rather reject the use of some of the most generous credit cards tied to rewards programs. And Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis is here to explain why. So Anna Maria, we're not talking about small merchants up and down Main Street that have fallen out of favor with some of these credit cards. We're talking about large merchants like Amazon, Target, and Home Depot. And it comes down to fees involved.
As U.S. consumers increasingly transition from paying for things with cash to paying for more of the purchases with credit cards and debit cards, the merchants are looking at the fees that they're incurring and becoming increasingly bothered by them, in particular on the credit card front, because over the past decade or so, rewards programs on credit cards have become a lot more commonplace. It's so rare for consumers nowadays to not be carrying rewards credit cards in their wallets.
Especially
people with good credit.
It's the theme of the advertising,
exactly.
Essentially.
Right. So it's become this sort of thing that's expected now by consumers, that their banks are going to give them not only rewards, but generous rewards. And in the last, in particular, 5-6 years or so, there's also been this increase in these premium cards, which are like the top of the top. They're these credit cards with high annual fees for cardholders, but in exchange, the cardholders get really big sort of perks in terms of airfare, hotel stays, travel reimbursement, access to exclusive events. Well, a big way that all of these perks are being paid for is the interchange fee, this fee that merchants have been incurring for decades. They pay when people use their cards to shop. And the fees are set by the card networks, Visa and MasterCard. And the money that the merchants are paying, the fees are going to the banks.
So I guess this is the old adage, there's no such thing as a free lunch. The money has to come from somewhere.
Exactly.
So many retailers have an issue with the honor all cards rule. What is that?
One of the longest standing rules in the credit card sector in place by Visa and MasterCard has been that if you merchant accept one Visa credit card, you must accept all Visa credit cards. You can't pick and choose between them. Same goes with MasterCard. So the companies say that this is in place for several reasons. They say, one, it's to not, for there not to be consumer confusion. You know, just, you know, sort of picture it. You go to the register, you pull out a Visa card. Oh, sorry, no, we don't accept this, you know, Capital One Visa card, but you happen to have a Bank of America Visa card on you. That gets very confusing. So in addition, the companies, Visa and MasterCard, say that it's, this rule is meant to create an even playing field between issuers so that small banks and large banks, their credit cards are accepted across the board. You're not favoring one over the other. The merchants, however, see things differently. They say we should be able to negotiate terms and prices with vendors, as in the card companies, as we are able to negotiate them with all other vendors that we have. And they find that they have found this rule to be problematic for many years. There's been litigation on this matter ongoing for many years. But more recently, as rewards cards become more and more commonplace, and the rewards just keep getting more and more generous, the more generous a card, generally speaking, the higher the fees that merchants are paying, rewards cards have kind of become central to the big merchants' battle against Visa and MasterCard.
And if the merchants do wind up picking and choosing which cards they'll accept, that could ultimately penalize small banks who issue credit cards, right?
Well, so really what's at stake here in the end is Visa and MasterCard's interchange fee sort of standards and that whole setup. Because if these fees that merchants pay ultimately come down, be it through litigation pressure or just something else, small banks are going to look at their credit card business and be like, well, in general, margins in the credit card business are already coming down. And now you remove one significant form of revenue, the fees that merchants are paying. What's the incentive to being in this market anymore? So what you could see is that small banks in an environment where interchange fees are coming down are exiting the credit card market or just becoming even smaller players in it. And that basically results in more market share with the big banks. So this is all theoretical and spoken through with an analyst who has been covering this market very closely for a while. But you have big banks left here who have gotten even more sort of leverage in the market. What do they need Visa and MasterCard for, in the sense of the big banks could just negotiate fees with the merchants? So in the end, what we were looking at here is, okay, this fighting, this sort of legal battle going on, ultimately, once you're sort of clear through the weeds, what does it mean for the consumer, right? And for the consumer, it's that rewards cards have become the thing to use now. People are pretty much addicted to them. And ultimately, if there are changes that take place here with these fees, then these rewards could become not as widely available.
Well, you know, it puts everybody in a really tough situation because the merchants don't want to reduce the foot traffic or transactions. The banks, of course, don't want to ease up on the fees coming in, and nobody wants to upset the consumer.
It is a difficult situation, and you know, the two sides have their own sort of version to like why what they are fighting for is the right thing, and as a reporter reporting on this, I can't say there's one right or one wrong side here. I mean, chances are that, yes, merchants are benefiting from cards, in the sense that how many people shop with cards and end up spending more?
Well, yeah. And right? I suppose if there's anybody who's not benefiting, if you consider the fees have escalated over time, it's businesses with a lower margin, as you pointed out in your story, like grocers.
Right. So we have seen in one example, a very recent example, a grocer take a pretty drastic step. So this summer, Kroger announced that one of its subsidiaries, a supermarket in California, Foods Co., decided that it was not going to accept Visa credit cards anymore. It would take a Visa debit, but not Visa credit. And I had a conversation with Kroger's, with senior executive there, and he said that one of the sort of big factors to making this decision, well, first of all, Kroger and Visa have been trying to negotiate these interchange fees. They were trying, the supermarket chain was trying to bring those costs down. And their senior executive said that, you know what, we have not been able to come to an agreement. Fine. But in addition to that, he pointed out that the growth of rewards cards, the fact that these cards are being used at our stores more often has become an issue as well, because these cards are more expensive. So there are sort of different steps that merchants in the past have taken, that they're currently taking. That includes litigation. That includes, you know what, I'm just going to cut off Visa credit and let me see how my business is going to perform without that.
Well, as they say, something's got to give, and we'll see what happens. And it's a good reason to stay tuned to The Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com, and reporting by Anna Maria Andriotis, who joins us here in our studio. Anna Maria, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.